I get to start with my longtime friend up in Dallas, Gary Eisenstadt. He's going to come and talk about employment law update and trends, including the continuing impacts of the pandemic. So Gary is a shareholder at Ogletree Deacons in Dallas. He founded the firm's trial practice group there, certified in labor and employment law, and a fellow of the College of Labor and Employment Lawyers. But the fun fact for Gary is that he does glass work, and you can actually find his glass creations at www.eisenstadtglass.com, which I think is really cool. So with that, come on up, Gary.
Good morning. Welcome, everybody. It's always a pleasure for me to be the opening speaker on this conference, which I've done for the last several years, and I appreciate that. For those of you that think the speaker should have a tie, I do. I have a tie, so I think I've checked the box there. Let's see if we can get over to my PowerPoint. Let's see. So, question for you, show of hands. Let me just show you what our quick agenda is going to be. This is what we're going to be talking about. We'll spend probably a decent amount of time today talking about the McLaren decision, because that's the one, quite honestly, that has probably the most wide-ranging impact of things on your daily practice, perhaps, and we'll find out about that in a second. I'll give you some notable statistics and cases that have come out that I think ought to get your attention. We'll talk very briefly about Dobbs, and then I'm going to actually insert in here some survey material that our firm recently did just in the last month or two. And I think it's got some very interesting information that you'll want to look at and just know anecdotally for yourself. We'll talk about the amendments to Chapter 21 of the Texas Labor Code on sexual harassment, because there have been some significant changes there. Talk a little bit about the rise in union activity, what a complete mess the joint employer doctrine remains even after all these years. And then we'll talk a little bit about ESG and corporate activism. So, question for you, of those in the audience, and if, I know we're webcasting, so if you can raise your hand, but I won't see it. How many of you deal with severance agreements for employees? So most of you do. And of those that are dealing with severance agreements, how many have these type of standard non-disparagement provisions, right? Non-disparagement, the employee agrees not to make any statement to the employer's employees or the general public that could disparage or harm the image of the employer, employer's entities, officers, directors, et cetera. Do y'all use those? I do. How about confidentiality clause? There's a novel one. Oh my God, are you kidding me? Who uses it? How many use a confidentiality clause? You're going to keep the terms of the agreement confidential. Yep, me too. I mean, I've probably written thousands of those, and you probably have too. In February,
it's on the wrong way.
Well, I guess my fact says this isn't the right PowerPoint. That's fine. So let me tell you a little bit about McLaren. So the McLaren decision came about in a very unusual way. It's very much a pandemic case. So McLaren is a hospital, right? And McLaren, as we all know, in the era of COVID, they had all the edicts for the hospitals came out and said, guess what you're not going to do? You're not going to do elective surgeries. You're not going to do non-essential surgeries. You're not going to do any of these things, right, that you would normally do. We all knew that. We all saw that. All the doctors who were, you know, our plastic surgeons or our non-essentials were kind of sitting around on their hands. Well, the hospital had recently agreed to a brand new bargaining unit about a year or two before. And when this edict came down that said we're shutting everybody down, all of these non-essential, non-COVID workers, the hospital said, well, we need to furlough these people. And they furloughed 11 people. So far, so good. Nothing abnormal about that. Here's the question. Did the hospital confer with the union that represented those 11 employees? No. Big mistake, right? Big mistake. And I'll give you my thoughts on why we're here is all because of that. And so they gave all of these 11 individuals severance agreements. The individuals signed the severance agreements. The individuals took the money.